Stack. I'm the host, Joanne, and I'll be joined by a guest talking about something that makes them smile, even though I probably don't know much about it. I have two guidelines, no punching or pushing, so we're aiming to discuss these topics without insulting anything else or pressing political and social issues. We're just here to learn new things and share the things that bring us joy.
Let's get into it.
So this week I am back with Oz the Builder. They have a YouTube channel that you can check out as well as an Instagram. And what are we going to be talking about this week, Oz?
Well, for starters, thanks for having me back. I had a blast last time. I'm stoked to be here. I love the podcast. So just know I'm here for it. I'm stoked about it. I'm bringing some energy to this conversation.
Awesome.
Yeah. So the first bit of news, you're actually officially talking to the future Dr. Oz. I got into my doctoral studies, yes, and I've been in the midst of that, so I just thought I had to throw that out there. It's kind of neat, huh?
Congratulations. That is so amazing.
Thank you so much. I'm stoked. I'll be the real Dr. Oz, so, but yeah, that's it's pretty exciting. Basically, I'm going to be a communications doctor. My day job is communications, so.
Yeah, wow, that's so, so impressive. My sister got her doctorate in horticulture, and I know that it's a ton of work. It's just super impressive. So, wow, good for you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited about it. And so obviously kind of, you know, working the day job, working woodworking, doing homework, but, you know, that type of thing. I keep plenty busy, but I absolutely love that.
That's great. So woodworking is like a hobby of yours outside of your day job and everything else that you do, correct?
It's my small business. Yep.
Oh, okay. So you're getting, or you're achieving your doctor's and also have a small business with woodworking.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. That doesn't sound exhausting at all. That's, easily manageable.
Yeah. And my, you know, my day job, I'm a communications lead for the Navy. So it's, I keep very busy, but I absolutely love it. Getting into some new things with woodworking, I actually got a laser. Ooh, I built a laser. Yeah. What?
Yes.
So it's a diode laser, a little different than your CO2 laser. So I've been doing some laser engraving lately, which has been really quite fun to learn. You know, what buttons do what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the laser you have, is it like the big machine where you put the wood into it and it's like pre-programmed and it does the work for you? Or is it more like a soldering iron sort of thing where you're like hand lasering in some way?
It kind of more looks like a CNC. If you've ever seen that, it has two accesses. And so I will go into a program on my Mac called Lightburn, and I can do all of the designs there and the layers like you would in Photoshop. And then that's basically what's telling the motherboard in the laser to go do what it's supposed to do. So it can go do, let's just say it does a circle at a certain percentage of the laser because we want it to actually cut out the circle. Well, that'll be one layer. On top of that, let's do a darker laser engraving, but we don't want to cut through. All right, so that's a different setting. On top of that, let's have a nice light little text base or a nice light little picture on top. And so it can actually be very an involved process. But I don't think I have what it takes to do it by hand. My handwriting is awful. awful handwriting. And so I was never going to be able to do calligraphy. And so I was like, I'm going to have to learn how to do this program, I guess.
There is nothing wrong with that. I think last time we spoke, we talked about a couple different ways of like engraving into wood and stuff like that. And you had talked about one where you can like kind of print something and then do like almost like a wash to get
it on
the wood or something.
Yeah. Image transfer. Yeah. With Mod Podge. Yeah. Those are fun too.
Yeah, but this will actually have it like indented in so that you can have the texture. And I'm sure like with stains and stuff, the way it like soaks into those deeper grooves is probably really, really neat.
It is fascinating. It really is. And then the other thing I've been getting into is epoxy pours. So last time we talked about I've been doing some cribbage boards and now I've been up in my game there. Been incorporating epoxy elements into that. So that's really exciting. And then on top of a wood burn or a wood engraving, right? You can just do just a little bit of epoxy on top of that just to give it a little pop of color, if you will. And so it's just fascinating. It all is intriguing. I am learning and I am, listen, Don't tell anybody. Just kidding. We're telling you. I have screwed up coasters so many times. You don't even know how many coasters I have tried and failed and failed and failed. And so it was actually just a couple of weeks ago. I finally got one that actually turned out. And it was just like, oh my gosh. Like, everyone's probably like, what? It's just a coaster. I was like, you don't know. I've messed up so many of these.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it's the things that look super straightforward that are like one of the biggest challenges. And it's like, yeah, you would think a coaster would not be one of the more complex builds, but like, I do get it. I get it completely. Yeah,
you feel it in your bones.
I do. Yes. I have quite a few different crafting hobbies. I haven't really branched into woodworking specifically, but yeah, it's like the number of times that the simple stuff is what you struggle with. And then the more complex stuff, it's like, oh yeah, I've got that. No problem.
Oh yeah.
That's so cool though. I love that you've branched into other things too. Like you've got your woodworking and then you take that and you grow it, you try something different with it. That's just amazing and wonderful.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it. I like doing new things and I don't learn being successful all the time. You know what I mean? I learn more right. by my mess ups than I do by getting it right the first time, you know?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. If you are succeeding at everything you do, you are not pushing yourself enough.
So if I have 15 terrible coasters, that means that I've very much pushed myself.
Yeah. And it means that you learned 15 lessons, right? Like, well, I mean, I guess you could have messed them up in the same way every single time, in which case, you know. But yeah, no, like those mistakes is how you learn. It's how you improve. And like, that's so good. What a great attitude.
Thank you. And I like your, you know, twist on that too, your take. It's like, yeah, 15 different lessons that you've learned. That's I'd say that is very accurate.
Absolutely. So I'm curious about the, with the resin pour that you've been doing, are you using it more as like a top coat? Or are you getting into adding like dyes and like mica powders and stuff like that as well? Or like how have you kind of branched into the resin with your woodworking?
Oh yeah, we're putting powders in. I've been using, I think it's Black Diamond. And I mean, no brand loyalty whatsoever. I'm just sharing what I have in case somebody wants to Google it. And they have so many different colors, my Lanta. And so I'll be, you know, adding a color to that. It's really cool. I also have been using just liquid glass, which is the clearest stuff I have ever seen. I mean, once it hardens, you look at it and you're like, I swear I'm looking at glass right now. So I had this, I'm a little bit of a nerd. I have, I like to do kind of puzzle type things. And so I have these little, they're like metal figures that you kind of build from scratch. Like you get them in flat sheets and you basically poke out the parts and you build a little something. So I built an Optimus Prime and this thing, it does not stand very big. It was very, very intricate. And I was like, I want this to last for forever. So I made myself a homemade mold and I was going to do a color on the bottom and then do the rest with the liquid glass. And it turned out very well when I finally got it to work. So I'll have to just send you a picture so you can see it. So basically it's just got a colored blue bottom and then it's a liquid glass Optimus Prime in there. But the first time I tried it, I didn't seal my mold properly. So it emptied.
Oh no.
Oh man, it was a time. I thought I had it right. I really did, but I didn't. And so the Optimus Prime ended up being super duper protected because the liquid glass dried on it directly, so it was pretty solid. So yeah, lessons learned there.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking because that's your material's not like cheap either. I'm not familiar with the liquid glass specifically, but I do some resin pouring. I am also a nerd, so I've gotten into trying to make my own dice for Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. I'm trying. There's a specific set of dice that Chessex put out a while ago, and it's discontinued, and you can't find them online. And when you do find them online, it's like $100 for like a dice. It's stupid. Ooh. So I've just been trying to create my own knockoff of the same one, and like, it's challenging, but I'll have to check out the liquid glass because part of the problem that I do have is that they'll be like a little bit foggy or milky or whatever. And yeah, it can be work to like find a resin that you really like.
Oh, yeah. So how long have you been doing the dice now?
Off and on. So I would say I probably first started trying it maybe a year and a half ago. But it's the sort of thing where like I'll get real into it for like 2 weeks and I'll, make a couple sets and then I'll put it away and I won't look at it again for 5 months. Because that's the sort of crafter I am. That's how I am with like everything that I try. I get into it, and then I move on and then I come back to it later. So, but yeah, I've probably made like 10 sets, and a lot of times I'll do the pours and then I get too lazy to sand them all down and like finish inking in the numbers.
Well, listen, the only dice that I've ever made are those giant oversized like Yardzee type dice.
Oh.
And so yeah, so mad props to you for being able to figure out how to do a pour and get those right. Those, there's a lot that goes into that. So I give you a ton of props for that.
So, and actually, kind of combining the woodworking and the resin that we're talking about, have you done the style where you have like a resin mold, you pour the resin, and then you put like a rough edge of wood into it, so it almost looks like a like mountain cap on top of like a raw edge of wood?
Oh yeah, I've been working those as well, and then I even just got wood cookies. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that? It's
No.
basically just if you took a tree and you sliced it into like little cookies, like from the trunk, if you will. So you just have a bunch of circles.
Like just like slabs, basically?
Yeah, except they're small, very very small, like a small diameter, like smaller than the diameter of a paint can, which is why they call them cookies. And
Oh,
so,
okay.
yeah, and I've
I
been
want a
trying
paint
to.
can sized cookie.
Oh my gosh, listen, I love sweets. I would be so here for that. But those, I've been trying to figure out how can I incorporate epoxy into those, because that would be really neat too, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the sort of thing. I wonder if there would be a way to like hollow out the inside and then do like a core of epoxy, almost like a
Yes.
geode-esque look to it.
Oh. That would be so cool.
That'd be super pretty. Oh
I might have to give that a whirl.
my goodness. This is just like craft ideas time with Oz and Joanne right now.
Listen, here's a call-in number. Call in with your biggest questions. We'll help you problem solve it.
Yes. Yeah, I can come up with any craft. I just don't know how to do it, and it's going to be expensive. But, I've got the ideas. That part's easy for me.
Hey, oddly timely. Have you ever done any glass blowing before?
No, I would love to try it. My parents have done it at like a couple studios, but I haven't had the opportunity to check it out myself yet.
I was just at a class last night. Holy cannoli. It is incredible. And I had no idea what I was doing. And they were very kind. So I'm just putting it out there. Yeah. And you can just get in and do your thing. So yeah, just if you want to check it out, I don't know. Like, it's kind of fun to try out new things that you have no idea about. Like, I literally don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue. But it's kind of fun to learn.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I really like trying to push myself into learning new things and just trying things that are different. And when you can find a studio like that, a lot of times the people are helpful, and like that's what they're doing is they're trying to introduce it to new people. So like you just go and check it out, and worst case scenario, you don't enjoy it and you spent a night learning that you don't enjoy something, and that's valuable too. Like just try stuff. That's so cool though. So what did you make when you did your glass blowing?
It was a glass pumpkin. Those are pretty popular. And so the stem is incredibly difficult to do. So the instructors actually did that for you, because they're like, listen, you have to really try about 100 of these to in order to get this right. And we only have one here, so I'll do this. And it's just, oh man, this is so interesting.
That's so cool. But otherwise, so you did the actual blowing of the pumpkin part, though,
Oh yeah.
correct?
They have a COVID friendly kind of a approach to it, and they give you the little tube and a mouthpiece, and they, yeah, what? You know what I mean? What?
So what is it actually like for anybody that doesn't know, what is glass blowing actually like look like, or how do you, what are the basics of how it's actually done?
So they've got this giant thing of, I mean, literal like liquid glass. It's hot. I wanted to say, he said it was like 1200 degrees. It was some obscenely hot number. And you dip the stick in, and you just kind of start getting glass at the end, and the stick, has the ability, it's hollow enough that you can basically blow holes into it, as if you're blowing a bubble with your gum type of a thing, right? And so you get all this really hot glass on there, and you put it into this different one, which is, oh, they call it cooler, by the way. It's only 900 degrees. I was like, okay, all right. And you get it in there, and you kind of just begin to blow a little bit and spin it a little bit. And so we kind of had like this little orb, and then you get to add the colors. And that was the hardest decision of the whole night, honestly, was what colors are we going to do? So you got the base colors, and you can do a little, you know, accent colors and stuff. And so you get that started, and then you kind of get the dye in there, and you roll that around, and you put it back in the 900, you know, degree one. And so you just kind of do this iterative process where you kind of keep building it up enough. And then you have this just enough. So you have this little pumpkin shaped thing. It's kind of cool to have a mold that gives it the, you know, that stem look on the outside of a pumpkin, those ribs, I guess. They get this little thing, they put it in there, and then you roll it around. It's all so cool. And then at the end, I mean, they put it in the kiln, which again, they're like, now that's our fridge. That's only 400 degrees. And I'm like, oh, okay, here.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of crazy too, because I know with like a lot of that stuff, if you take it from 1200 to room temperature immediately, you can run the risk of it like breaking or shattering just because of like the hot to cold.
Had to move quick.
Yeah. So it does. It's ridiculous to say that something 400 is like the cooling area, but it's like, no, you can't put it someplace super cold, or you're gonna shatter it with that contrast. You have to ease it down at a regular speed.
And this one woman that was working with us, this is next year we'll count 40 years doing this. So just wow. The knowledge she had to pass along was mind-blowing.
Did she have any of like her pieces on display there that you could actually check out some of the stuff?
Oh yeah. And they have these little glass cactus, like, or is it cacti, plural? My apologies for my English here.
Cactones.
And they was like, those are so cute. How did you do it? Right? So I might end up signing up for a class for those in the spring. We'll see.
That would be great. I know, like I said, my parents did it once, and they did, I think, flowers. So like you make the stem, and then it was like they somehow like stretch the petals almost. So I don't know if that was as much like glass blowing as just like glass manipulation. I don't know. No. There's like different terms for like different techniques, but yeah, they made flowers, and I think they might have done like a vase once. Yeah, I think they're cool. I just haven't had the chance to do it yet. I've done the glass fusion, where you like do like a plate, and then you like lay different glass onto it, and then they fire it, and it kind of like melts into a shape. But that's like a different, I don't know, it's a different vibe than the actual like.
How do they fire it? Do they do it with a torch, or they put it in like a kiln?
They put it in a kiln. So it's the sort of thing that you have to come back for. And like the one I did, I made a wind chime, so everything was just fired flat. But you can also do it where you like put it into a bowl. So you'll make it flat, you'll lay your colors on, and then they'll set that over a like bowl shape, and then when it fires it melts and like takes the shape of the bowl, and everything just kind of like sloshes in a little bit. And those are like, they turn out really cool. So yeah, there's a ton of different stuff you can do with glass, but that's definitely a harder like hobby to just pick up. You definitely need to look into a studio and like find people that have the proper materials for it. Well, like the resin we were talking about earlier, like I literally started my dice with like stuff you can buy at Michael's. It's like, it's not like it's a super cheap thing to get into, but it's not that expensive. So like resin is definitely a cool option for a more like at home do it yourself sort of a thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. The ticket to entry there is far lower than say having to go out and get a machine that burns at whatever degrees it is. I mean,
Yeah, if you need to add an extra digit to your temperatures that your home fluxes between, like that's where you start having some questions, I think.
So I took a road trip out to through South Dakota a couple weeks ago, and I stopped at it's called the Porter Sculpture Park, and it was named as like America's weirdest art exhibit. Google it, check it out. I am fast. So that's a lot of metal work. And that is something I'm fascinated by, because it's something that I just don't think I could do it, you know? And this guy, he built this giant bull. And he when we got there, I mean, it's larger than life. He let me pick up this piece of metal. He's like, pick that up. It's like, okay. And it was pretty darn heavy. He's like, now imagine that times like 3,000 is what's in that bull down there. And I was like, whoa, how did you do this?
That's so cool. Is that so? I want to say it's when you're driving through South Dakota, there is a statue of like a big T-Rex or something out in a cornfield. Do you know if that's related to it at all?
Well, there was a lot of dinosaurs there too. I don't remember a T-Rex.
Okay. Is it kind of near the Corn Palace, or did you not check out the Corn Palace?
We drove by the Corn Palace because it's, how can you not, right?
Right.
But it was right outside of Sioux Falls. So I think that would be between Mitchell and Sioux Falls, in between that strait right there.
Yeah, it might be related because I want to say it's like maybe a half hour outside of the Corn Palace as you're driving and looking at absolute nothing because it's South Dakota. There's just like a random giant metal statue.
And
it's a dinosaur for sure. I think it's a T-Rex. And it's good. But it's, like you said, it's huge. Like you can tell it's huge from the freeway. And I'm sure if you actually got up close to it.
On the way out, people looked like ants next to it. And so on the way back, I'm like, I gotta stop at that.
That's awesome. I will definitely add that in my list of places to check out next time I am making a road trip, which doesn't happen as often as I would like, but I'm going to work on it. So the laser that you got for wood carving, could you use that for metal carving as well, or is it strictly wood only?
No, you could definitely use a metal substrate. You can use folks use cardstock, cardboard, those types of things. So you can really use a lot. The only thing I can't do is reflective glass, and that's just because the nature of the diode laser. It would be very dangerous if I tried to do that.
You don't want the laser just reflecting?
What? No, of course. No, I'm just kidding.
I guess that makes sense. I wouldn't have thought of that, honestly. Like, as soon as you said, don't put reflective glass in there, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense to me. But like, but so you could use that as a gateway into small scale metal sculptures.
You are very correct.
So don't give me this. I don't know if I could ever do it. Like, I guarantee you, if I had you on in another year, you'd be like, so I started getting into metalworking.
Basically, I wanted to add another ring to another hat hat to wear. But no, you bring up a very valuable point there. I think you're absolutely correct. That would be a very easy way to dip my toes into it and give it a whirl.
Yeah. You should do it. I think it would be fun. And that too, like you can definitely start to incorporate all of these different like materials into multimedia projects. And like, I don't know, I feel like you could really do some cool things, kind of like mix and matching or like seeing the same sculpture, but in different materials and stuff like that. It really sounds like a fun opportunity.
You know, I came on this podcast. I didn't know I was going to get life advice. You know what I mean?
I guess I'm just in that sort of mood tonight. You bring it out in me, I guess. You're very like inspirational. I don't know. Like I feel like both times I've talked to you, like I've left the conversation wanting to just like go get something and make something out of it. I'm like, I don't care if it turns out perfect. I don't care if it's, I just want to make something out of something else.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Well, I think, unfortunately, our time is actually getting pretty close here.
It goes so quick when we're on here.
It does. Was there anything else specific that you wanted to touch on, either in regards to woodworking or your life changes in general?
No, honestly, I think I've tapped out the new and noteworthy.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you again for being on the show. If you want to remind people where they can go to check out some of your stuff, if they're interested in seeing it or hearing more from you.
Hit me up on Instagram at OzTheBuilder. Send me a message. Ask questions. Ask for custom work. I'm there for it. I'm also on Facebook, Pinterest, and YouTube.
If you're a curious person that likes encouraging others, please consider subscribing to discover a new topic with me each week. If you have a topic you'd like to add to the stack, please email theturtlestack@gmail.com. You could also help grow the community by liking, rating, and telling others.
Thanks for listening!